Bandwidth for this podcast is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com. This is We Have Communicators, episode 192, recorded on November 7th, 2013. Enjoy. All right, it's time for We Have Communicators, the show that covers all things iOS and beyond. I'm Michael Johnston, and with me is Adam Christensen from the MacCast. Hey, Adam, how are you doing?
I thought you were going to say from somewhere in LA, which is where I am.
I thought you were in Las Vegas.
Eva, no, not at all that cool. I'm in LA.
Oh, okay, so the other conference.
It was horrible. It was horrible. I hate it up here. I'm sorry. I apologies just up front to everybody who lives in LA and loves it. I get it that you like it here. For someone from San Diego who grew up in Northern California, I would almost rather shove ice picks in my eyes.
That's what people usually say when they move to LA initially, and then they gradually, I guess, trick themselves into liking it, or just end up finding things they like.
There's some cool things here, but I just can't deal with the fact that, I drove up.
The traffic.
So seriously, I got up early to make sure I was on time. I gave myself plenty of time. I drive all the way up here, and when I get to the last 15 miles, right? So I have 15 miles to go. It took me an hour to get that far.
Ugh.
15 miles to go. That last 15 miles is another 45 minutes.
Yikes.
Oh,
I hate that kind of traffic.
That is... I actually had to... I got off and went surface streets because it would have been 45 minutes and I just didn't have that kind of time. So
yeah.
That just hurts.
That probably is the only really awful, like truly bad thing about LA. The rest
that,
of it's
well,
just...
And the smog.
Yeah, but nobody cares about that.
And the grime.
Nobody cares about that. Jeff Gamet's also here. The sprawl?
The sprawl, yeah. No, I'm sorry. I feel bad. I'm sorry, LA.
It's okay.
Love you. Call me.
Jeff Gamet from the Mac Observer is here as well.
And I am.
He enjoys the sprawl.
As one does.
That's why he lives in Colorado.
His sprawl involves, like, possums.
It involves what?
Possums and raccoons.
There you go.
Yeah, herds of deer and elk. Yeah.
That's some good sprawl. That's high quality sprawl.
Really good sprawl.
We all walk down the plankboard sidewalks with our six shooters slung low on our hips.
He's actually in Civilization now, though. That's cool
true. I'm in Boulder now. Yeah.
Is that where Mork was from?
Well, he was from Ork, but he lived in Boulder with me.
I feel like we had this discussion already.
Yeah, I think we did that off the air. I thought we did, but maybe not.
Yeah. Why not say it again? Okay, so the biggest story of the week, of course, is the iPad Air came out, and everybody got their hands on them, and people who wanted them, I would say most of the people who wanted them probably got them. Because the supplies were plentiful.
Plenty.
Which is cool.
So cool. I love that. I actually got two. But I'll
did?
Well, I have one. I returned one. But I'll touch on that later on. I have a nice story to tell. So, like I said, you can pretty much get an iPad Air whenever you want. I think the only thing that's constrained, you can get them. It's like 24-hour shipping from Apple.com. Most of the stores have them for in-store pickup that same day. The one that I saw in short supply was, I think, the T-Mobile.
The gold model.
Yeah, the gold model is, you can't find it anywhere.
True.
Because it doesn't exist, people. Don't let them fool you.
Yeah, we're sneaky. Yeah, 5 to 10 business days for the T-Mobile. 32 gig, anyway. And the 16 and the 128. So, but the Wi-Fi ones, the cellular ones, other than T-Mobile, are pretty plentiful, which is awesome. So, let's see. And the iPad Air, adoption this year is like crazy more than last year's. It was like 73% I should say, of total active iPads after 2 days is the iPad Air, whereas last year the iPad 4 was 0.21%.
Well, this year there's enough difference between the models that even average users are looking at the iPad going, oh, it's new now. With the fourth gen iPad, most people couldn't tell the difference between that and the third gen model.
And there was the fact that many of us bought an iPad like 3 months or 4 months. What was it? 6 months? Probably is really. I can't remember.
There's that too.
Before, 5 months. I can't remember. I'm so bad at the dates, but
well, let's call it.
It was a mid-year, you know, midstream release or whatever you want to call it. So I skipped it mainly just for that reason. It just was there wasn't enough difference in my mind to justify.
Yeah. But it's awesome. I have mine. Do you guys have one?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
And it's super light and nice and thin. And, you know, one of the crazy things that I noticed is it feels like the display is bigger. Did you guys get that? Obviously, it's not bigger, but it kind of seems like it's bigger because the bezels are shrunken on the sides. I get that feeling.
No. I didn't get that feeling.
Maybe I'm just crazy because I've been looking at my girlfriend's iPad mini for the last 3 months.
I think that's the impression. As a matter of fact, I've had people ask me, is that the mini?
Yes. It's easy to confuse it with the mini.
Because it's so not mini.
Well, yeah, but I mean, it is. Yeah, and it. I mean, it's because it's narrower on the sides, it looks... I think it looks more like the mini, even just in terms of size. If you don't have a mini right next to it as a frame of reference, you know, it comes across pretty small. And as a matter of fact, I had mine out today, and someone was next to me with an iPad. I don't know if it was a third or fourth generation. I couldn't tell. But, I mean, it looked huge in comparison. And they're really not, I mean, physically, if you look at some of the comparison shots, they're really... pretty close in size, exactly the same height, and only just a, you know, maybe, I don't know, a quarter of an inch less than that off on the sides. So, you know, like just in the width and height, they're very close.
Yeah.
But if you see it on its own, it to me, the perception is it feels smaller, not the screen is larger per se. I kind of get what you're saying. You're going for the effect, you know, if I hold something relatively next to, you know, a certain thing, it looks much bigger.
Yeah, I think I'm just, I think I'm just used to, yeah, I know what you're saying. I think I'm just used to the iPad mini just because I was looking at it for a while. And because it is so similar, like you say, in just not the size, but the way that it's constructed, I think it just looks like a giant iPad mini, which is a good look.
Yeah, it doesn't look funky or wrong.
I was just going to say, I'll tell you the one thing, though, is I can't stand the Apple logo on the back.
Really? I love that.
It is like a fingerprint smudge magnet, and you can't get those smudges and fingerprints off. It's like a big old greasy stain.
Yeah, I noticed that with the Mini before I got the Air. And that holds true on the Air as well. You're right.
The prettiest things are not meant to be touched.
Does the Mini have that same... But the Mini doesn't have that same... Like, this is like a... At least on... I don't know how it is on the silver and white one. I assume it's the same. But on the space gray one, it's like a mirrored finished thing. And it just shows... I'm obsessed with, like, trying to get it clean and then realizing I'm never going to get it clean because it's always going to have a big giant fingerprint or something on it. It's bugging the heck out of me.
Yeah, the prettiest things are not meant to be touched.
It is far more mirrored on the Mini. Well, or maybe it's because I have so many fingerprints on the Mini right now. they're both mirrored.
Yeah, I think they're about the same.
On my Mini.
But it's... it is shinier on the Air than it is on the Mini. Of course, I have the regular black back Mini, not the space gray.
Okay, so all the speculation aside, it's definitely the exact same mirroring process on if you look at a white Mini and a white Air, it's the same thing. So I haven't looked at the black ones. I would assume they're maybe a little bit more more matte on the black ones.
Not on the on the Apple.
I mean, a little more relative to the fully mirrored chrome look that is on the white one.
Nope.
Okay, whatever. This doesn't matter. Nobody cares.
I realize right now I sound like a totally vain tool. It's like, you jerk. You get a brand new iPad Air and all you can say
it's too smudgy.
Logo's smudgy.
Yeah. Okay, so.
Yeah, I just took the case off mine. I'm looking at it. It's like, yeah, it is a super shiny mirror and it holds fingerprints really well.
That is one of the things that I tried to do as soon as I got the iPad, is just not touch the mirrored logo, and I put the case right on it so it doesn't have any fingerprints on it right now. But aside from the mirror finish on the Apple logo, let's talk about things that really matter in the iPad, like the fact that it's crazy fast now. It has the A7 chip. It has the M7 coprocessor in it. 1 gig of RAM as the fourth generation did. It's as we've seen in benchmarks leading up to the launch, it's way faster than even the fourth gen. Graphics performance is greatly improved over the iPad 4. I haven't played many games on it, but I mean, it's nice and fast, and everything works really well on it.
How's your battery?
I think it's fine. How's your battery?
It hasn't felt as good as my iPad 3. Seems like it goes down quicker, but jury's still out. I haven't used it, I think, long enough to bear that out. I saw a report. Somebody reported that, you know, they got more than 24 hours of Wi-Fi hotspot use out of it.
Yep.
But it just feels like, you know, like right now by midday, I'm at 53%, but I was using it pretty heavily today. I wrote a bunch of notes on it, and I was checking emails. But I don't know. It seems like I could go a whole day and still be at 75% usually. And this one just seems to dwindle a little bit faster. Now, I will also say that I did a straight, you know, restore from backup from my iPad third gen. So, you know, I may need to go back and just do the whole setup as new kind of thing and to bear that out. But for me, then my initial feeling is the battery hasn't been lasting as long as my third gen iPad.
You have a Wi-Fi only, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I'm Wi-Fi only, and I've been getting fantastic battery life off this.
Yeah, so it may be just something related, which is why I was asking you guys rather than saying there's a battery problem, because I don't know that there is. It's probably just mine.
Yeah,
mine's probably just yours.
Mine's pretty good.
Cool.
Yeah, and you know what? I did actually notice that on my my iPad 4th gen, was that the battery life was quite a bit less than the 2nd gen that I had,
mm-hmm.
In addition to being heavier. So those were like the two huge things that I hated about the iPad 4, is it was heavier by like 20 grams or whatever, but it was one of those things that you notice because you hold the thing in your hand all the time. And with the battery life sucking, I'm glad that I have this one instead of that one. So what do we have here? So of course Apple is still selling the iPad 2, and they yoinked the cases for them like periodic or momentarily for maybe 24 hours or so. They just stopped selling the iPad 2 smart cover and smart case. And I guess they're still selling them. They put them back up on the store, right? Or is it just the smart cover?
I think it's just the smart cover.
I don't like the smart cover. I really like the ability to pull the thing off the iPad when I need to, because I don't like to have a thing hanging off the back when I'm not using it.
That's what the smart cover does. You can just
that's
pull
the smart cover.
Oh, smart case. I get it confused because it's,
cause it's case, so and just think case and cases.
I know. I get it covers. If I think about it, but when I say it, it just comes out wrong. Whatever. What do you guys think about the new smart cover? It's a little bit different than the previous generation. The previous generation had
it's
the
crap.
Okay.
I like it. It's just like the one on the Mini.
Yeah, so it doesn't have the metal hinge, the physical hinge like they had before, and it's missing a fold. So it just kind of the end edge clicks onto the edge closest to the iPad attachment to make the triangle. So it's, I would say, a less sturdy triangle, certainly less sturdy.
Really? I haven't had issues with it. I have issues with the one on the Mini, and I don't know if it's because it's too small, but so far, I mean, I've been using it and it's been pretty good. I also think that they've done something with the magnets. The magnets are either a lot stronger, or the ones in the iPad are stronger, it seems like to me.
I think they are
stays
stronger.
Stays on a lot better than my Mini one did.
Yeah, I agree.
See, and I didn't find that it stayed on very well. I tried out the cover in the Apple Store with my Air. And I would start typing, and my iPad would just bounce right off the cover.
So the actual cover came off of the iPad.
Yep.
So that
it didn't stick very well at all. And there are other people in the store that were trying them out on other iPads and complaining about how they just really didn't stick very well. So I ended up getting a case instead.
So this is in typing mode. So when you put it with the wedge kind of back behind it.
Yeah, it just pops right out.
I think that's probably either based on the iPad or the cover itself. Because I did see that complaint on the online store for them before I purchased mine. So I was a little concerned about that before I got mine. And I do not see, with the combination that I have, the cover and the iPad that I have, I see no possible way. I mean, I would have to be pounding on it with my fist to get the thing to separate from my from the iPad. I think that the bond is probably stronger than the previous case. Now, the triangle, I would see the triangle possibly coming undone, maybe.
I had that happen too.
Okay, I would see that coming undone maybe before before it separates from the iPad. But I think that either you should try a different cover, maybe go get a different cover in a week or so when the supplies have flushed through, or try a different iPad, because I think that one of the two might be defective for some people.
Possible. Although that cover, I just don't like it in general.
Yeah.
Putting that big neoprene cover on the iPad, it just, to me, it makes my iPad look like a toy. I really prefer the leather smart cover, and I so want someone to make the leather smart cover that Apple did have for the 2, 3, and 4. Make that with the metal hinge and everything for the Air, and I will snap that up so fast.
I wonder why they got rid of the leather, because the leather is really nice and really adds to it. I love the leather iPhone case for my iPhone 5S.
Yeah, I agree. It's just really a big difference. I thought it was such a nice cover. So I ended up going with a smart case, which doesn't come off of my iPad, and it doesn't collapse out of the little triangle stand thing, and it's leather. We'll see how well this holds up.
Well, this is, the one thing we can guarantee ourselves is that there's never going to be a shortage of case or cover options for your iPad.
Yeah.
True.
There is something for everyone at every price point, at every quality level, at every design level. So.
Yeah, I got the blue smart cover, and I had the gray one before. I'm considering a different color, though.
I got the black.
Black looks nice. Black is kind of appealing.
Yeah. I went with the light blue smart cover.
Yeah.
Or excuse me, smart case. Smart case.
Yeah. Probably wouldn't get the yellow or the green or the
pink. That neon salmon was just hideous.
The neon what?
Salmon.
Salmon.
Oh. Holy crap, that's a horrible color. I'm clearly not Apple's target market for that. A lot of these cases they're making. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I like mine, and I got something to cover the back. So where are we on this stuff? So Apple, you know, we've been talking about the IGZO technology in the display for a while, that maybe Apple was going to do that. And I guess it's thinner and crisper and all that stuff. So they, it turns out
iridium, Apple, gallium, zinc oxide.
Exactly. Thank you. They're using that in the iPad Air. So I guess that decreases the thickness, although I guess they're still using a separate layer, right?
Yeah, that was interesting. Huh?
They're not laminating the...
Not fused anymore? Wasn't it, was it never fused? I thought it was, I thought they had moved to the stuck together layers.
They did that with the iPhone. They laminated it to the iPhone for, they've been doing that for a while.
Oh, but they haven't been doing that on the iPad?
Apparently not, and certainly not on iPad 2s. I've taken those apart, which, by the way, don't do that if you don't have to. Because it sucks and you'll break something like I did. But yeah, I guess it's still a separate piece. I got to pull up that, that iFixit, article and see what they, what the teardown was, but I'm pretty sure it's still a separate piece.
Well, doesn't that just mean that they now have room to make it even thinner?
I guess that is true. I mean, it's already pretty thin, but hey, thinner's better.
So wafer thin.
Wafer thin.
Wafer thin.
Yeah, stay away from that wafer thin mint.
Better get a bucket.
Oh, kids don't know what we're talking about. And I'm a kid. That's like the first reference you guys have thrown out in a while that I've gotten.
Well, that's because it's on Netflix, right?
No, I didn't watch it on Netflix. I watched it like long ago.
Really?
Yeah. I haven't watched any other Monty Python, though.
That I would consider to be the worst of their movies.
Oh, okay.
And it was still fun.
Yeah.
Okay, yep. Fair enough. Well, I'll check out the other ones.
Now we gotta stop. You just stopped the show.
I stopped the show.
So you have not seen Holy Grail?
I think I've seen clips of the scene with the guy.
Stop the show now. We'll just turn off the recorder. We'll come back and
we're turning off the show and
start,
I'm gonna
again.
Go watch right. Monty Python
and
now.
And we expect a 3-page
book report.
Spaced report.
Okay.
And then after we grade that, then you're going to go back and watch Life of Brian.
That one has the most boring sounding of titles.
Oh. Oh, Michael.
Yeah, we need to have, we'll have an intervention later. All right, let's go.
Yeah, we really need an intervention.
Okay. So if you have a previous generation iPad all the way to the very first generation, act quickly, because up through November 9th, you can get $200 from Target, $200 Target dollars. So if you're planning on getting, I guess it's toward an iPad. Is that true? You have to.
No,
get,
they give you a gift card.
Okay, so you get a $200 Target gift card if you give them any iPad, as long as it works. So I have a friend who has an original iPad, and man, he's getting an awesome deal for that.
Yeah, and all they do to verify that it works is hit the power button and see if the screen lights up.
Yep.
That's all they care about.
And so if it's cracked, they're going to not do it, right?
I'm assuming not.
Yeah, they normally pay $65 for a 16 gig original iPad. And like $145 for a 16 gig iPad mini, but you know, you're getting a pretty good deal there. So definitely check that out through the 9th. Or I guess it lasts until the 9th. So I think that means you can go in on the 9th and do that, which is Saturday. So
hop to it, kids.
Yeah, hop to. Yeah, and now, so we have to talk about the T-Mobile, because I had a great experience with T-Mobile over the weekend.
Apparently a lot of people did. I was going to comment when you're saying that earlier story, you know, the T-Mobile ones are the only ones that are sold out. I think that bodes really well for T-Mobile's next sort of you know, update on how they're doing in terms of like customers and contracts. Sounds like they're getting a lot of new iPad customers.
Yeah, and they really should, because as we talked about last week, you get 200 megabytes for free every month for life on a T-Mobile iPad when you buy it from either Apple or from T-Mobile or wherever you can get a T-Mobile iPad. And we also
you have to buy it outright, right? You're not a T-Mobile customer already. Right? That's the catch.
Right. So we talked about last week that you can get, they call it the EIP, the Equipment Installment Program, where you can, it's a no interest to 2-year payment plan for the tablets, for iPads. So you can do that through them as well. And I
but
said,
to do that, you have to get you have to buy a data plan.
Exactly. So I was thinking, well, my plan was to go in there. I have a buddy who actually works at a T-Mobile store. So I called him Thursday night and I said, hey, can you hook me up with an iPad? And he had his boss actually drive to another city, pick up an iPad for me, got it. And I told him, I want to get the free 200 megabytes. And I also want to do the payment plan. He said, okay, cool. No problem. Went in there and I wanted to give him a little bit of a benefit to doing this for me, because he, you know, for quotas or whatever. So I signed up for the 2.5 gig a month plan just for this month. But I really wanted to make sure, like for sure, that I could go down to the 200 megabytes for free per month. And I stuck around for another hour while we researched things. He called his support people, and ultimately the conclusion was, definitely, you will definitely be able to get that 200 megabytes for free. You'll be able to go down to it at the end of the month. And of course, on Monday, we all found out that you can't do that. So the way it works is, it works is if you buy,
I was just about to ask you, because I'm like, this isn't going. I thought you had discovered some secret thing, but no.
Okay. Unfortunately, cool. No. I discovered a hiccup in their communication between their employees. So, you have to purchase it outright. So either you purchase it outright from T-Mobile or Apple, and you get the free 200 megabytes. Or you can do the equipment installment plan, which is awesome, but you have to do a post-pay plan. So your prepay, if you buy it upfront and you get the free 200 megabytes, or your post-pay if you do the equipment installment plan, but you do get another 200 megabytes for free.
Right.
So technically, once you pay off your deal, then you can get off that. But they need some kind of benefit for them, because they're kind of forwarding you that cash for the iPads.
This is the question I have on that. So the way, when I was reading it, the way it sounded, and I didn't have the time to research this, so I'm curious if either of you know, the way it sounded to me is you could get the equipment installment plan if you were already a T-Mobile customer with a data plan, like on your phone.
It was explained to me that you actually need a voice line at the minimum.
See, this is the problem. This stuff is too complicated.
Yeah.
Well, but I think the deal is T-Mobile just wants you need to be a T-Mobile customer, or you need to buy the thing outright, was sort of the two deals.
Yeah, I think
so. If you want to get the installment plan, you have to have service on T-Mobile, and so it was all these people where the confusion came into play is to get the equipment installment plan. It was all these people who just wanted an iPad on equipment installment plan, but weren't already T-Mobile customers. And T-Mobile was like, "Well, we got to get our money somewhere." I mean, I get what's going on, but I was just curious. It sounded like you could, if I was a T-Mobile iPhone subscriber, say, and I had a data plan on my iPhone, I could probably still go and get the iPad on the equipment installment plan with just the 200 megabytes free. But I don't know. I haven't verified that. So I was curious if you knew if that was the case or not. Or do I have to buy, if I want the iPad on equipment installment plan, do I have to get a T-Mobile data plan for the iPad as well, even if I'm already a T-Mobile customer? And I couldn't figure out. That was the one piece I couldn't resolve.
I think it's a matter of being a you need to be a post-pay customer for something.
Right. Yep. That's my understanding too.
Yeah. So, yeah. So ultimately, I wasn't really interested in the cellular iPad. I was mainly interested to check out T-Mobile's network to see how good it was, because I want to switch to it next year. Obviously 200 megabytes of data isn't that much, but it's enough to play around with every once in a while. And the fact that they don't do overages, which is another great thing. You'll just get throttled down to the edge speeds. And if you want to get more speed for that month or weekend or what have you, then you can pay accordingly.
It's interesting you mentioned wanting to test their network, because that's another thing that goes into this, how smart this is on T-Mobile's part, because you're not the first person who's said that to me. I've had a couple people say, and I'm going to use the iPad because I've been thinking about switching to T-Mobile, but I'm not really sure if I want to. So I'm going to get the iPad on T-Mobile so I can kind of test out their network and see if it covers the areas that I need and see how the speed is and all that stuff. So a lot of people are, you know, they're buying the iPad outright, but getting the T-Mobile version just so they can use that 200 megabytes to kind of be the test.
Yeah.
I find is interesting, which means if it's good, as good as T-Mobile claims in certain areas, I imagine that they're going to get some switcher stuff. They're going to get some halo effect off that too.
That's pick really up smart.
More phone customers. Yeah.
Yeah, I certainly hope they do. I'm pretty impressed with their data speeds, although it's not as fast as AT&T in the few areas that I checked. I mean, I got it was something like 20 megs down and about 10 up, which is good home internet speed. But on AT&T, I've seen something around like 40 down and 20 up around here. But that's kind of crazy fast internet speed.
Well, since getting my 5S, and I don't know. I'm going to throw this out there in case anybody wants to email if you've noticed this issue, or maybe I just have a bunk iPhone 5S. But since getting my iPhone 5S, and actually, honestly, even a little bit before I got my 5S, I've been having trouble with my iPhone maintaining its connection to the LTE network. So I'll take it out of my pocket, and almost inevitably, it's on 4G. And if I, you know, turn on and off the cellular, or turn it on and off the LTE, it will often reconnect to LTE. But then at some point again, it'll fall back to 4G and then stick there. So I don't know what's going on with that either.
It might be your connection.
Yeah,
because I've noticed that on mine in certain areas on my 5 or my 5. And now I'm running a speed test by my speakers, so it makes a nice noise.
yeah, we can all hum along.
Not very good here. Yeah, it might be your connection. I don't know.
But it doesn't jump back. I mean, it used to, you know, when I was running at least iOS 6 on my iPhone, I could see if I had a weak signal, it might jump down, but it would always jump back up if I got into the range of an LTE thing. Now it seems like it doesn't want to go back to LTE. I don't know. It's weird. But I've been noticing that really on my 5S. So, you know, in your point about AT&T versus T-Mobile, if it won't stay on LTE, you get none of the speed benefit. I'm just throwing that out there.
Right. That's true. Okay. So the remote app was updated for iOS 7 this week, which is nice. It's nice and flat and shiny. Mm-hmm. Or less. Is it less shiny or more shiny? I don't know. I can't decide.
Yeah, probably less shiny.
I'm
going to go with less shiny.
Less shiny?
Yeah.
I don't think they've really changed any of the feature set in there. But hey, it looks more like iOS 7, so that's cool.
Well, they fixed compatibility issues.
Whoa.
And I'm kind of bummed about the whole white-ish background for everything in this app. I like it when
what?
It was dark.
It's like puke green. What? It's like diarrhea green on mine.
What?
I had not opened it up. I just opened it up. It looked awful.
Yeah, it's weird pastel colors.
Everything's weird pastel colors now.
And I really don't like the whitish. It's I can't call it a white background because it's almost like this very, very subtle mint color.
Yeah.
I'm calling it diarrhea green.
Okay, so it's this subtle diarrhea green color.
Where are you getting green? I don't see green.
Maybe, I don't know. I just opened it. Went away now because I'm not anywhere near my network, but I saw my Apple TV for a brief second. And for some reason, the background was green. Maybe it's not doing the thing where it's picking a color from my desktop, is it?
No.
Because I do have a green background on my desktop.
No.
It's almost like a green gray. It's like gray, but with a slight green tint is what it looked like on my phone when I first opened it up.
That's the color, which is stupid because if you're using this when you're sitting watching, say, a movie or TV show on your Apple TV, there's a higher likelihood that you have the lights either off or turned down. And you don't want to have this bright, glaring screen in your face where you're trying to control your Apple TV. It was much better when this was a dark-colored app.
Yeah, true. It should be. They should have a dark mode. I mean, that's what Maps does, right? At nighttime, it goes into its nighttime mode.
Yeah.
You're driving.
And they could even use the same light sensor in the iPhone. And sure. And go into a night mode. Yeah. I don't think it's very well thought out in the face.
Call it theater mode.
Yes.
There you go. That's Apple technology. Theater mode. So speaking of maps, there's been a new job listing. I think we saw this several months ago, but there's been another job listing for a couple new people to join the Maps team at Apple, working specifically as a member of the transit routing team. And I'm looking forward to that because, you know, I still feel like the Maps app in iOS 5 and before, like whenever they added transit times, maybe like iOS 3 and before they switched to their own thing, it was the best. That was my absolute favorite version because it was so good at finding transit times for public transportation, and now it just kind of sucks. And Google's Maps app just has a weird interface. Some of it's just weird. So, and it doesn't does it still not integrate with your address book? Google Maps. I don't think you can type in. I don't think I can just start typing like Adam. And it doesn't pull it from my address book, which is just dumb. So I don't like to use Google Maps because it doesn't know any of the people that I know.
Huh. Why would they not? Because they can have access to the contacts database.
Yeah, they can.
Yeah, they just have to ask permission.
But they don't because they want you to use the dumb Google contacts.
Well, that's lame.
Yeah.
But Google contacts will sync with if you want them to. I guess they don't. Does Google doesn't like me being in control of whether or not I use Google syncing with? Is that the deal?
I guess. I mean, it's been around for a while. You'd think they could just do it by now. But anyway, so hopefully Apple Maps is progressively getting better because it needs to get a little bit better. And I did see this one interesting story about how if you search for like internet or SMS or something like that, you'll in the App Store, you'll actually get advertisements for Apple's stock apps. It'll say, hold on there. You don't need an SMS app, dude. We already have an app on here. It's called Messages.
Seriously?
Yeah. So if you search for web, it'll show Safari first, and then it'll be like,
and then I just typed SMS, and the first thing that came up was Messages, and then the next thing, Text Me International.
Yep. Which I think is actually a good thing because some people just don't understand.
Really?
Yeah. I truly think that some people just don't get that some features are built in.
Well, and then Apple could never do this. I there's probably business, US business you know, anti-competitive rules against this. But Apple should go in and curate and wait. If I'm fine with them giving preferential treatment to their apps, if then after that they put like only good going down to the worst possible SMS apps. And I know they can't do that because it's totally objective. But the one thing I hate about doing searches is everybody else figures out ways to game the system. And very rarely when I search the App Store now do I ever get the result I want, because I get a bunch of crapware.
Yep.
That somehow gamed the system to get, you know, the top search results. It just, that annoys the heck out of me. It's just like, this is a garbage app. That's a garbage app. That's a garbage. Like searching is worthless in the App Store.
It's a painful thing. Yes. It's frustrating.
I mean, half the time I'm typing the exact name of the app that I want, and it's not even in the, it's not even the first 20 results.
Yeah, that's really frustrating.
Like when you search for Tweetbot,
and do a Google search and try and find an article or a review.
Yep. Yep.
About exactly what you want, and hope that they included a link back to the actual app for you.
This is why we have Appler.
This is exactly why we have Appler.
Oh, what's Appler?
That's where I go to solve this problem.
Yeah, it's that website we go to where we can actually search and find stuff.
Yeah, and going, these are the good message apps. These are the good maps apps. So when I search maps there, I only get the good stuff. But I want Apple to do that on their site. They should just, they should buy Appler.
Hey, I would not object to that at all.
And I don't, you know, and I'm not saying that because it's, this is just what's happened. And I know, you know, Michael, you built the thing, but this is why it was built. And, you know, naturally I keep gravitating back towards it because I go to these other, I try other routes, you know, I'm in the App Store. I don't want to necessarily go out to another app, but I'm glad it's there or another location.
Yeah.
In essence, I mean, it's a web app too. So you know, it's optimized.
Yep.
Put it on my home screen.
Yeah, you can put a little, Adam, here's a tip for you. When you're on Appler on your iPhone, if mm-hmm. you have the little menu on the side, click, there's a thing called search widget. So if you just hit the search widget, it'll say, hey, you can just quickly access app search from your homepage. So you go to the search widget and then you just add it to your home screen. That specific page. So whenever you hit the icon on your home screen, it'll open right up into search.
Cool.
So that way you can reduce
your steps.
You got to
update your icon for iOS 7.
Which icon? Oh, yeah. I don't like the new iOS 7 icon. It's a box with an arrow coming out. Although one could... say the same about the old one.
But it's now a square box with a thin arrow pointing up, not the fat box with the arrow jumping out to the side.
I like the springy arrow with the thing going to the side.
But
it looks better.
FYI.
Yeah, I agree.
Anyway, so I think is there anything else we want to talk about, or is it time for picks?
Or are we done plugging Appler?
Hey, you started it. I think it's time for picks then. So I'll let Jeff go first.
All right. Okay, so my pick this week actually crosses over between the iPhone and the Mac, and it's an application called Knock.
Oh, cool.
K-N-O-C-K. And what it does is it lets you use your iPhone as the passcode unlock for your Mac when you're in range. And what you do is you knock twice on your iPhone to unlock your Mac. And it's really cool, and it works really well. So you get the iPhone app, which I think is $3. Maybe it's $4. I can't remember. And then there's a companion app that goes onto your Mac, and it's free. And so you need to have devices that use Bluetooth low energy. So it's iPhone 4S and higher. And then on the Mac side, it depends on the model. So 2011 and newer, and for some of them it's 2012 models for the Macs. And it's just fracking cool. You just knock twice on your iPhone, and all of a sudden you're in your Mac. It's beautiful.
That's pretty cool.
It's really cool.
So I could just walk up to you and knock on your jeans and get access to your computer.
Yes, but you'll have to buy me a drink.
Yeah, I don't think this would work with my Mac. I have like a 2011. I think it's a 2010.
If it's anything from 2010, it doesn't work. If it's 2011, the MacBook Air, and it might be one of the iMac models. And then in 2012, it's like pretty much everything moving forward.
Yeah. My 2010 doesn't have any of the fancy features. I can't mirror to my Apple TV. I can't do this. At least I have AirDrop, though.
That works. So there's that.
I'll use that every once in a while. Speaking of which, have you guys played with the AirDrop any at all on your iOS devices now that you've had it for a while?
Yeah.
Does it work pretty well?
Works excellent.
Okay. But you have to have the other person, even though they may have AirDrop on, they have to swipe up their control center to get it to broadcast itself, right?
No.
Okay, that's what I've experienced.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. No, that doesn't sound right.
I didn't think that was the case. No, I mean, it needs to be set so that, you know, so you're saying even if they swipe, you do have to swipe it up and set it to everyone. You have to, by default, it's off.
Yeah, I'm saying they have it on, but if it's been a while since they, like, turned it on, then they have to swipe up and actually just, well, I guess I just have to swipe up to get the control center to open to say, hey, I'm here. Huh. I don't know.
I don't know. Like, I haven't used it that much, so I don't know.
I wanted to mention, I forgot the, two things I want to mention before we move on. Have you noticed that Apple is now doing Delta updates, so you don't have to. In the past, if you wanted to get an update for Mail or Safari or something like that, well, not so much Safari, but definitely Mail and other apps like that, you would have to wait for the next OS X update. They're not doing that anymore, which is awesome. There's an update for Mail. I think we were talking about it a little bit last episode about how Mail is crazy with Gmail.
Right.
And I guess they attempted to fix it, if not fixed it. And they pushed it out without an actual OS X update.
Right. They came out this afternoon.
Yeah, which is cool.
Yeah.
So I'm glad they're doing that now. Maybe they'll do that with iOS someday.
Well, we can live in hope.
Even if it's probably never going to happen. But we can hope. So Anyway, it was Knock. It's $4 and it's cool. If you have the right Mac, make sure you have the right Mac before you do it, because there are a bunch of people complaining saying it doesn't work, but it works.
Yep. Okay. So my recommendation is before you go buy the iPhone app, download and install the Mac app. And if it is compatible, everything just works. If it's not compatible, one of a couple things happens. It either tells you you can't run it on this Mac, or it keeps telling you, hey, you need to activate or turn on Bluetooth on your Mac.
Oh, okay.
And then you're like, but Bluetooth's already active. And so if you've got that going on, then it's probably...
It's probably what? You dropped out, sorry.
So if you get that thing where it keeps telling you, hey, turn on Bluetooth, and it's already on, then it's probably not compatible.
Yep. Good to know. So then, Adam, what is your pick this week?
My pick is an application. I was just trying to get the price for you, but it's a game. And I think I actually found it. Apple had a section on their site. It was like best games you've never heard of. And I'm like, yeah, maybe. But I went through it, and there was a bunch of obscure stuff on there. And I found this one called Cloud Spin.
Oh.
And it's very simple. It's sort of fun. It's kind of like a runner-style game, so a little bit like Temple Run, something like that. Except in this case, you are a rabbit with a jetpack. and you're flying, and you have to sort of fly through rings and collect coins and avoid obstacles, and you get bonus points if you can get near misses and things like that. So it's like 3D flying, you're from the perspective, three-quarter perspective, kind of behind the rabbit. It reminded me a lot of if you ever played Pilot Wing on Nintendo 64. It's got a lot of similar elements to that. The sort of, and it also does have a like free flight mode where you can just kind of fly around. So there's a tournament mode where your goal is to kind of get through the obstacles and collect as many coins and things as you possibly can. And then there's a free flight mode. I want to say it was only like $1.99, $2.99 maybe.
$1.99. I'm looking at it right now.
Yeah, yep. $1.99. And one thing I like about it, I always appreciate like the artwork, the graphics are, it's really pretty app as well. So it's really well done for like $2. And it's fun. It's kind of casual. You know, you can just pop it open, play a level and sort of jump out, just like all those sort of runner style games. So turned out to be a good one, and it was only $2. So Cloud Spin.
Cool. My pick this week is Deliveries, or I guess Delivery Status Touch. Delivery Status Touch. I'm just searching for it now. And it's a companion app for a widget that has been available on the Mac for, I don't know, maybe as long as the dashboard
forever
has been around.
I think I have that in my dashboard.
It is awesome. I love that widget. And I love this app too. It syncs with the app. So they sync across. And so they just released a new version of the app for Delivery Status Touch. It is $5, completely worth it. And it now does push notifications, which it kind of did before. It required that you had your Mac on, and it sort of did the push notifications through your Mac. Now they just do it through their own server. And so you can track any number of packages, and they have tons of different services that you can do. You can hook it up to your Amazon account, to your Apple account. They have USPS and UPS and FedEx and like a bunch of different things that I don't recognize at all. So it does a really, they have an other category. I wonder how that works. I guess you can just kind of manually enter it in. But yeah, it's awesome. So I usually enter packages in half the time on my Mac, and then it syncs to my iPhone, and the other half the time I do it on my iPhone. And the other cool thing is, like many other apps, if you copy a tracking number, so let's say you get an email from something, just copy it to your clipboard and then open the app, and it will magically grab that data, recognize which carrier it is, and throw it in there for you. And I think one of my favorite things about it is that it provides you with a nice little map to show you where you are relative to your package. So, and that's on the iPhone. It's actually a universal app, so it's on the iOS version. You don't get as many cool things on the Mac version, but definitely get the widget if you get the app too. So, Delivery Status Touch on iOS, and I think it's just called Deliveries on the Mac, and they regularly update the widget too. So, check it out.
You just call it Deliveries on the iOS. That's a good name.
Well, I think it's called Deliveries on the icon, but to differentiate it, it's called Delivery Status Touch. So,
the App Store, the beauties of the App Store.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, one other thing I wanted to mention. So our sponsor for the last couple months and coming up this month is The Transporter. And there's the deal where you can get $50 off, which is awesome. I had a couple people call in. I couldn't get back to them because they called. So if you have a question like this, email. But they couldn't figure out where to put the coupon code because I said go to filetransporter.com, which is the actual website. But when you go to buy, you have to choose from a myriad of different suppliers. And the deal, of course, only works with the actual transporter company. So you want to go to filetransporterstore.com. Com in order to use the deal. So wanted to get that out there, and actually have a new product that we'll talk about later. But with that, we have the iPhone picks in the show notes at wehavecommunicators.com. You can review the show on iTunes. We really appreciate that. It helps us get the word out, and of course, tell your friends. That's awesome too. Feedback at wehavecommunicators.com is how you get a hold of us. That's probably the best way, although you can call us at 202-642-6667. Advertising is handled by Backbeat Media, backbeatmedia.com. Jeff Gamet is at the Mac Observer. It's macobserver.com, at jgamet on Twitter. Zazzle.com/jgamet is where you can find things he's illustrated and put onto other things. Do you have the panties on there? I can't remember.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the guess what? Chicken butt panties. Yeah. Yeah, they're totally there. So yeah, you can buy panties that that on the butt, it has a chicken.
Oh, you can get a...
And it's like a nerd chicken. He has glasses and stuff. It's really cool.
Yeah. You can get tons of different things. You can get stuff to put on your baby. Key rings. There's one I saw that was kind of cool. Oh, a tie. You can get a tie. And you can also get the We Have Communicators coffee mug.
Everything tastes better than that. And I have a couple ideas that I'm working on, a couple designs I'm working on. So there should be some new stuff on the Zazzle store soon.
Cool. Yeah, check it out. Adam Christensen's at the MacCast, MacCast.com. At MacCast on Twitter and MacCast pretty much everywhere else. And he has the member show.
If it's not MacCast, it's the MacCast. So,
because some jerk took MacCast and
didn't someone squatted on my name, yeah.
Did they charge you $1 million to get it back?
Haven't had that. Yeah, I think it's the MacCast on Facebook and the MacCast on. And the Facebook is me squatting on my own thing because I didn't understand when I signed up that I should have made my personal page Adam Christensen and not MacCast. So,
oh,
it's my own dang fault.
And yeah, they didn't make that clear.
You can't change it?
No.
No.
That's funny. So like your mom is friends with MacCast on Facebook or whatever?
No, it's just the short name. When you pick your short URL. I'm Adam Christensen on Facebook, but it's you could when they made short.
Oh, the URLs.
URLs available. I took MacCast for my personal page.
Right. Okay.
And so then when I made the MacCast page, you know, the actual Facebook page for MacCast, the show. Guess what wasn't available as a short name?
Who took that? That jerk. Oh, it was me.
So the irony of squatting on yourself. Which, now that I say that, well, there is a demographic that would pay for that.
That's a show title right there.
So anyway, yes. Yeah, you will find me online all those places if you can remember what we were talking about after all that.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for having me.
I don't even know what show we're on.
Yeah. I'm at Michael Johnston on Twitter. At GetAppler is the Appler Twitter. And if you want to check out Appler, it's GetAppler.com, GetAppler.com. We're like Flickr in that we don't have an E in the part where it should have an E.
Yeah, and it's awesome because it's pics from not just three of us. So if you like the pics part of things, you can get pics from your friends and internet buddies and people you want to follow and people who you think are smart. And it really is how it's becoming the way that I find new stuff, because all the other methods, especially, you know, any of the top lists in Apple Store are worthless almost.
And you can have flame wars about apps too.
Yes. Well, and that's the key part, because it's not just, well, flame wars, because that's how Apple comments are. I mean, the comments in Apple Store are, again, also a thing that are just relatively dumb.
Pointless. Yeah.
Charge me. One star.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, you want reviews from smart people that you know and trust, or, you know, You don't just need the random reviews. Again, these are all things Apple should be paying attention to and putting in their own store. But they're not there, but they're on Appler. And I hate to keep sounding like an
You can do that on... does the Google Plus store have comments? I think they probably do. Like comments that you can reply to.
Do they do a thing? Maybe the people that are in my Google Plus circles? Like, can I say, like, I want to know the opinions of the people in this circle, not just the world at large, because, you know, I don't care what
because
Joe
most of the
from,
world is stupid.
From Planet Krypton.
I would like to go to Krypton.
Yeah, I'm curious what they think on Planet Claire.
Anyway, so, yeah, people should check out Appler. I'm on there, MacCast. Yep. On Appler.
And, yeah, so I guess with that, we'll see you next time on We Have Communicators.
An iPod. An iPod. An iPod. An iPod. An iPod. A phone. A phone. An iPod. An iPod. An iPod. An iPod. An iPod.
All right, it's time.
Pants.
But you can't resist.
How are we going to communicate this?
The world's best DJs.
It was like they had put a bunch of white noise in the back. It's probably masking the demonic phrases.
Probably.
As one does.
It's in its conflict now.
No. Yuck. No. Yuck, yuck, no. Who wants a stylus?
Stylus, 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 stylus.
You have to get them and put them away and you lose them. Yuck, yuck. No.